Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation, a chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Thank you, Kirby, and welcome to another Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. Actually, a double play, a twin spin, if you please, today. Two great guests that we want to share some comments with you. We've got, first of all, past president of the International Brangus Breeders Association, Texas cattle producer Alan Good, who is showing at this year's Cattlemen's Congress and the Brangus Show. Also, a judge for Congress, as he judged this week during the American Breeds, the Santa Gertrudis breed. We've got Alan talking about all things Brangus and more here in just a few moments. Also, want to talk about the international program, the international visitors that have been a part of Cattlemen's Congress. Erin Dorsey, consultant for Congress, going to talk with us about the international program. She's very, very invested in that. Also, a key player when it comes to helping organize Congress to make it the smooth-running event that it is. We're going to start with our conversation with Alan Good as we talk about the Brangus breed here at Cattlemen's Congress. Alan, we're glad to have you here. Tell me a little bit about the Brangus show this year here at Congress.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah, it's a pleasure for Brangus Breed to be here once again at Cattlemen's Congress. I did have the opportunity to judge the San Gertrudis show earlier today. And a comment I made in my closing remarks there was really just to recognize Mr. Callahan and the Cattlemen's Congress organization for including the American breeds from the inception of Cattlemen's Congress. I recall the conversation I had with Mr. Callahan and Ms. Dorsey. I think it was early in the fall of 2020, whenever pandemic was at its heights and we didn't know what was going to happen to livestock shows. And this came in as a beacon of light, so to speak, for the all livestock exhibition, and the fact that the American breeds were included on this national platform, the big spotlight that this has become, has been a real boost, I think, for the entire registered industry. And to have all the breeds come to one location once a year is just tremendous. And so the fact that there's so many of the American breeds have shows here, we have the Supreme American Drive, it's just a real highlight for the total industry.
Tell you, what are you hearing from some of your fellow breeders? In other words, how has this worked out as far as a venue?
The venue's been good. I mean, it's a very central location, of course, you know, geographically. So for the Brangus breed, we have exhibitors from Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, all throughout the Southeast that come here. And, of course, you know, all the surrounding states, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri. So it's a big show for Brangus. It's one of our top point shows and within our show points program.
Numbers have been strong?
Numbers remain strong, yes, both for a junior show and the open show. This really kicks off our year in terms of our show, and it kind of leads into, we have a show in Florida in February, then our national show in Houston in early March. But for us, this is one of the highlights to really start off the year.
Let's talk a little bit about the Brangus breed stuff. Obviously you've been a leader within the industry. Where are we? What can you give me a state of the breed?
Sure. Well, I mean, aside from the show ring, this is the 75th anniversary of the International Brangus Breeders Association, and essentially Brangus. We're going to have a big celebration weekend in August in Fort Worth, but so it's a momentous time for all of Brangus, and it's really coming at a time when Brangus is hitting all strides in terms of the industry, of the acceptance of our and the demand for our cattle, bulls. For both the purebred and the commercial man, females, replacement females in all aspects, black Brangus, red Brangus, ultra blacks, ultra reds. We have a type of cattle right now that fits so much of what the commercial man needs in a lot of different environments and geographies.
So tell me about the ultra.
Ultra is a relatively newer part of the Brangus breed. So an ultra is a Brangus, 3/8, 5/8 Brangus bred back to Angus, either black or red. Those are called, we'll just call them Ultra Ones, okay? You breed that Ultra One to a full Brangus, you get an Ultra Two, and if you breed that back again to a full Brangus, you have what's considered a full Brangus again. So for us, it's a way to bring in some of the newer Angus genetics into the breed, and what that has really done is helped us boost our carcass quality traits. You know, our EPDs for marbling, ribeye, intermuscular fat have really climbed high to be on par with any other breed in the industry right now. And that is really, again, because of the adaptability from an environmental standpoint of the Brangus cattle. Combine that with carcass quality that we can prove now, it's really expanded the demand for Brangus cattle.
Genetic information, so much a priority for a lot of folks these days. I know that's the case in the Brangus as well.
Oh, very much. It's really, I mean, the industry today is about what's under the hide, okay, and being able to measure that, tell the story about that, what that means to the commercial man, and what it means to dollars in your pocket at the end of the business cycle. The Brangus Association, we're in our third year now, launched what's called the Brangus Value Project. And so that is a controlled test of sets of Brangus-sired calves out of commercial herds. Those steers from those herds, there's always at least two Brangus sires, or an Angus reference sire. Those calves then go to a feedlot, okay, for full testing and then for packing. And the data that we've been able to obtain from that has really proven, again, the carcass merit of the Brangus cattle and how much emphasis that our breeders across the entire spectrum of the breed have placed on doing that, because we know that's where, you know, we, you know, 10 years ago, we needed to make great inroads to maintain and become a really important part of the total beef industry.
What are you hearing from commercial men as far as when they want to include Brangus in their mix?
Really, it's for adaptability, okay, and for the hotter parts, the more temperate parts of our country. So if they can do that by crossing them with the more, call them English continental breeds, you know, add that extra thriftiness and hardiness to get through the warm months, but they can still survive the cold, and do that with a high-quality end product, you know, that's what they're really looking for.
If you go back to the origin of Brangus, obviously it was a very methodical, very deliberate opportunity to cross the Brahman breed with Angus.
Certainly. And I mean, that's been the case with most of the quote-unquote American breeds, is that there's some component, except maybe you want to call it American Brahma, you know, which is was developed from a blend of different Indicus breeds, but all the other American breeds are, you know, a cross between the Brahma or Zebu with a continental exotic breed. So again, it's always been in an effort to someone's vision to create a hardy animal that can go to different parts of the country, survive, and still reproduce efficiently and have a good quality product for the end consumer.
Of course, you mentioned the states that you're very popular in, that across that southern Gulf states right here into the south central and the southwest.
Yes, sir. That's correct. And, you know, there's we're starting to see, because of the ultras again, starting to see some reach further up in the Midwest and further west, and maybe even a little bit to the further, call it Mideast states. But certainly the heart of the Brangus country is Texas on around the Gulf Coast, and maybe one state above, you know, those Gulf states.
What's the future of the Brangus breed in your mind?
Well, I think it, domestically, because there's two parts to Brangus, that it's domestic and international. Domestically, again, it's proven the carcass merit. You know, cattlemen already love the longevity, the reproductive traits of the Brangus female, Red Brangus Ultras. You know, it's the Brangus bulls now that are proven they can sire calves that will hang well in the end, perform in the feedlot. They're calves that the feedlot man wants, that the packer wants, and has, because they're producing a product that the consumer, you know, they can sell to the consumer. Internationally, Brangus is doing well all across the globe. For the International Brangus Breeders Association, we really have an effort to underway from a technological standpoint to share our, I'd just say, advanced genetic database and data analysis with the other country associations by offering our registry system, our data analysis to them. And it's, I think it's, you know, for the IBBA, we're always striving to be a leader, not just here at home, but globally as well.
So, are, for example, are you able to merchandise some of your genetics via, you know, semen, via sure. flushes, these type of things internationally?
Yeah, the U.S.-based or the U.S.-produced Brangus, Red Brangus bulls are in high demand all across the globe, from, you know, South Africa, Australia, of course, Mexico, Central America, and then, you know, on down through South America also. As an example of the genetic sharing, I guess I was just referencing, is that the Brangus Association of Mexico is launching that here in their first quarter. They're going to use our registration system, our genetic or enhanced genetic analysis, and it's going to really put their breed association, their cattle, on a much stronger mark footing within the country of Mexico. The same initiative is going on with the Australian Brangus Association, and so all that's, you know, when you travel the world, and I've had the opportunity to visit several countries, you see a different type of Brangus produced to adapt their environment. They're still Brahma and Angus or Red Angus, but they're cattlemen adapting to their environment. But it's still about, you know, what's under, again, as I said, under the hide. And if we can share that genetic merit data, the carcass quality, it's just a given Brangus a strong leap up in the global beef market.
Sounds like a pretty exciting future.
It really is. You know, that's why we're excited for the 75th anniversary this year. But, you know, we're very excited about the next 10, 15, 20 years, too, and what that can mean for, again, Brangus globally, but then especially here in the U.S., you know, for the cattle.
Well, circle back around. You mentioned the fact that you helped judge one of our shows here at Cattlemen's Congress, the Santa Gertrudis.
Right.
What do you look for when you start trying to sort these animals? What are you trying to come up with for that top end of the class?
Sure. Well, I totally showing has always been a lifelong passion of mine. Okay, and I know there will be some cattlemen who say the show cattle aren't relevant to the rest of the industry. I think they should be. I would agree they always aren't, but I believe they should be, because livestock exhibition should be the elite cattle of the registered industry, okay, not just the registered show ring. Okay, so I look for cattle that are first going to be sound and functional, that a commercial man could say, yeah, that one's going to have longevity. And then after that, you start looking at the finer merits of cattle, how they tie together, the style, the balance, the elegance, you know, of different females, the ruggedness, masculinity of the herd sires that truly makes them top of the breed. Okay, so it starts from the ground up, and then you just tie in those finer points that you start to separate cattle on.
I know that that comment about longevity was mentioned last night at the European continental supreme drive. Those the bull judges, they really said that's one of the things they gotta make sure happens.
Most definitely. I mean, it's, you know, an animal, a cow, a bull. I mean, it's a profit center, each in its own, and the longer you can keep it in production, the you know, you don't have to replace it as soon, you know, so the more profit hopefully you can drive out that animal as a profit center. So yeah, I mean, it's the longevity is key, you know, to it, that it, again, when it comes to structure, you know, it starts from the ground up.
Truly, that's for any breed, right?
Oh yeah, no, completely. And that's, I mean, it's it's one thing to stand and look pretty, you know, for some of our cattle, but they've got to get out and move. And I think that's where in the show ring should be an example of that, to say, okay, we can breed them to look nice, we can present them to look beautiful, but we can also breed them to be sound and functional and be truly elite registered cattle.
Thank you, Alan. Alan Good, he's with Trio Cattle and Genetics out of the state of Texas, Brangus breeder. That's a part of this year's Cattlemen's Congress. We appreciate the opportunity to visit with him. Now, let's turn our attention to our conversation with Aaron Dorsey, a consultant with Cattlemen's Congress, a rock star when it comes to helping organize cattle shows around the country, has been for a lot of years. Aaron working her magic on the schedule and primarily the efforts to host international visitors to Cattlemen's Congress. 2024, really, we're almost at the final couple of shows. And I mean, it's been another great, great event. In other words, it seems like we've learned over these last couple of years how to really get this thing done right.
Yeah, 24 has been a really, really good show for Cattlemen's Congress. We've grown. We've progressed. We got our schedule down pretty solid this year. And it's just been a really good show. And the weather has cooperated with us up until this last couple days here where it kind of got cold. But 24 has been probably one of the best shows that Cattlemen's Congress has ever put on.
You know, before we talk international, you've actually come from one of the other shows that obviously the National Western that had to shut down because of COVID the year that this particular event was decided to try to get off the ground. So what's the difference in culture between here and there?
National Western, it's a historic event. This is the 118th year of National Western Stock Show. It's a historical event. It's a show that I actually grew up showing at. I actually showed my first animal there when I was very young. We are actually on our fifth generation of family showing at National Western Stock Show. And my family still shows there. You know, the difference between us and National Western is we are just a livestock show, where Denver is livestock show, rodeo, trade show, you know, all that stuff. Where here we just really try to cater to the cattlemen and just try to really take care of them and make it a very exhibitor-friendly atmosphere and make it a really easy move-in, move-out process. And just try to just really keep the exhibitors happy.
And that seems like that's been the theme since day one. You know, the catchphrase, a show by cattlemen for cattlemen.
Yes, it is. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize I actually grew up showing cattle. And so I totally understand it. I've been putting on shows in some aspect of another, whether it's a national show level to a county fair level, for the last 35 years plus, you know. So I kind of understand the whole aspect of it.
When we started Cattlemen's Congress, the year of COVID, there's lots of masks around, no international presence, obviously, at all, because they couldn't get to the United States. But since that time, we've grown the international presence. Tell me about that process.
Yeah, my passion here has really become the international program, and I absolutely love the people. With that being said, I've got to do a lot of international travel, go to Canada every year for agribition. I've been to Mexico two or three times a year, to Mexico, to different shows and events down there. Been across the pond to Scotland and planning to go to Argentina to some events down there here in this next year. And it's just really interesting. People do not realize the amount of import, export, semen, embryos, and just livestock that go out of the U.S. and Canada to Mexico, Argentina, the UK, even Singapore and Australia.
So with all that in mind, we've had some interest in folks and have started coming and looking over all the livestock, all the genetics that are here on display at Cattlemen's Congress.
Yeah, we have in the last week, the first year of Cattlemen's Congress, we didn't, like you said, we didn't have an international presence here because they couldn't travel. The last 3 years, we've had, you know, our international presence has grown quite a bit. Last year, we had a lot of international people here, from New Zealand to Australia to Singapore to Mexico, Argentina, South Africa, and, I mean, just all over the world. A lot of people from Mexico come up as well. And this year, you know, we had the same amount of stuff. This year, I started with the international program. I started planning tours for them during show while they're here, so they have the ability to come to the show, sit and watch a breed show that they want, and then I plan tours for them for different breed stops across the state of Oklahoma as well.
And so how's that worked? And, you know, how's that worked out for them?
It's worked out really good. This year we did three breed tours in the state of Oklahoma, and then we also had some groups that I actually sent to Kansas for a tour, and then they went to Texas for a tour as well.
So they've had the opportunity to experience a lot of the beef cattle culture here in the U.S.
And different types of cattle. We've done, you know, Angus Herefords, Red Angus, a little Charolais. So they got to see a little bit of variety this year. You know, and I really ask a lot of the international people when they're coming, if I know they're coming, you know, what kind of cattle do you want to see? Do you want to see ears? Do you want to see, you know, haired cattle as far as Herefords, Angus, Reds, Chars, you know, what Limmies, what kind of cattle do you want to see? And then just really try to work with those people to make their trip and their experience here in the States the best that it can be.
What's, you know, with this year, what I think I counted, what, 9 or 10 countries represented?
Yeah, this year we were down a little bit. Really not down, just maybe not quite as many people from those states. The state number, the country number was actually probably, you know, consistent with what we've had. But just with the holiday, a lot of the foreigners really like their holidays. So with us being so close to starting to the first of the year this year, but I know with us rolling back next year to starting January 4th, I've already gotten tons of emails of people wanting to know what kind of tours I could help plan for them for next year.
So the international presence will be alive and well in the 2025 Congress.
Yes, it will be alive and well. I'm doing a lot of promoting this year. It's like I said, going to a couple shows in Mexico. I actually helped run a show in Mexico. So we're taking some from people from the States to Mexico, actually, to the show, just to get that camaraderie going, just to get people, you know, to come back and forth. So, and we do, I mean, people don't realize the amount of just semen and embryos that we actually send down there now.
It's got to be valuable to a lot of these breeders that are interested in looking to the international marketplace. They have an opportunity to interact with some of these players that you bring in.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, if you're a diehard person that knows pedigrees, you know, from the last however many years you've been in the cattle business, you look at those pedigrees and you can tell Argentinian bloodline, the Canadian bloodlines, and the U.S. bloodlines. And it's real interesting just to sit down and talk to some of those guys. Like, for instance, we have a gentleman from Argentina that's judging one of our Supremes this week for the eared cattle. And just to sit and listen to him talk about all the different bloodlines and how some of those people have actually come to the States to work when they were younger so that they could learn what it's like to be a cattleman in the U.S. and learn all those bloodlines in different breeds.
Lots of opportunities, yes. Indeed, and this Cattlemen's Congress is a part of that, that international commerce.
Yes, and I know from an aspect of helping with that show in Mexico, you know, like they're starting to bring, you know, younger people with them to the States just so that they can start learning that stuff just like they had the ability to do when they were that age.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Dorsey with Cattlemen's Congress helping coordinate the efforts of reaching out, hosting these international visitors that are fascinated with coming and watching this largest cattle show in the United States. Also say thanks to Alan Goode from the Brangus Breed as well today, a couple of our guests here on this latest Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. Learn more about Cattlemen's Congress by going to the website, cattlemenscongress.com. Have a great day. I'm Ron Hayes. We'll see you soon.